And now back to the morning show.
And we're back. And it is the morning show, Monday morning, the 19th of May. I'm Marcia May Cumber, and right now we're turning to Susan Kirsch. She's the founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control. Good morning, Susan. It's good to have you back.
Good morning, Marcia. I am happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to check in with you. You spend most of your focus following what's happening in Sacramento and from time to time going out for lobby week and making sure that local representatives know exactly what y'all are thinking needs to change or needs more money or needs more funding and needs a new regulation. What's on your radar this week?
Oh, so many things on my radar, and I want to get to one that's coming up tomorrow. But first, if I could just pick up on, some of the previous conversations we're having with Fred, because I also pay close attention to what happens in Sacramento, but also locally and recognize how much what's happening right here in Marin, where I'm headquartered, is happening in Sonoma and Riverside and L.A. and Alameda. It's happening all over. So as much as Fred is talking about that idea of supply-demand being an answer, I want to point out a couple of facts that I pulled for in anticipation of today and other work that I'm doing. In San Rafael, Marin's major city, big population, there are 8 housing projects that are going forward. And these are not little projects. These are not Habitat for Humanity projects. These are projects that will have from 7 stories to 17-story housing unit buildings.
Wow.
And so they are proposing with these 8 projects, huge projects, including the 17-story building, which is intended to have, what do we have here, like 1,400 units, would bring a total number of units to San Rafael alone, that city, 2,381 units. So you might go, whoa, that's going to be really good. The prices will really be coming down now if we get that many units. But put that against the fact that in San Rafael, which is true of many California cities, the population is slipping down because people can't afford to live in California, and they don't like all of the nonsense and the myth about being promised affordable housing when what they're getting is 7 or 17-story buildings with accommodations that hardly anybody wants to live in those high-rise buildings in earthquake country without enough water anyway.
Oh my
so
goodness.
In San Rafael, I just did a little checking, between 2022 and 2023, it's not a big number, but they lost 287 people in their population. And the framing around that is to say, well, that's not much. It is still a downward trend. So if we bring a mind of reason to what is going on here, and thinking of what you also talked about with Fred, the newspapers being stripped from local ownership to going to a global capital ownership, we can see how our narrative for what the public is reading is being distorted, and it's being distorted to favor that even dwindling 1% of power and wealth that is globally existing that sees our land, and it's kind of like it used to be, there's the gold, now it's the land. And what has shifted so dramatically is that real estate agents are not just now viewing the land, but they're viewing the vertical space so that San Rafael can think of building a 17, not the developers in San Rafael, can think of building a 17-story building. And it's not just the ground floor or even the 2 or 3 stores. They are now capitalizing on all of that other space that used to be held with value as being a part of the common richness of living in California with the views and the vistas and the access to ground, being close to the ground. So I know, there's a lot of names that go with this kind of vigilance about what's happening in terms of the push from our own governor and our legislators where they're saying, oh, we need to reduce environmental quality standards because we need more housing. But really? Right. I mean, should we be reducing the standards so much that everybody's going to be losing when a few corporate venture capitalists with their big infusion of wealth are going to be building 7 or 17-story buildings? What is that going to do to how much we love the sky and the trees and the beauty of being able to see Mount Tam right. here in San Rafael? And you've got your own beauty up there in Sonoma. So I think we need to take another look at that supply-demand theory mm-hmm. that is so often being floated and to say, like, wait a minute, let's just back up a little and look at what is happening on the ground. And here I go. I mean, should I stop for a second?
You're fine. Go ahead.
Because if we ask, how is it that this is being allowed to happen? If we had strong local control, this would not be happening. And the way in which our legislators in Sacramento have been able to do this is by passing laws that favor the developers, donors to our legislators who are passing these laws, or donors to our aspiring presidential candidate in the state. If those laws have slowly, over the last, probably 8 years, we've had over 400 housing bills limiting local control or limiting what had been 50 years of being environmentalists, not for public gain and not for greed and not because we wanted water and didn't think anybody else should have it, but because there was a stewardship, a quality of stewardship that had people paying attention for a common welfare, not catering to the narrative of the rich, which more and more is now being controlled by a rich corporate entity that has global reach.
Right. Exactly.
And
yes, it's exhausting.
The way they can do that is through RENA, the Regional Housing Need Allocation Numbers, which I know we've talked about before, yeah. but it is that RENA tool based on falsehoods, false assumptions, false numbers that enabled, with coercion, cities to adopt plans where they have to be putting in like 1,000 more of units right. than they ever did in previous planning cycles. It's just ridiculous,
right.
really.
And to add to all of that, RENA assigns housing numbers to various cities, municipalities, but governments don't generally build.
Exactly.
They don't own the land. They don't build it. All that they're there for is to see that the development, you know, checks boxes, fits in with the local plan, which of course now has been taken away. So if developers don't come along to build land that is for sale, whether or not it's got existing property on it or not, those thousands of housing units can't be built because
exactly.
the government doesn't actually do it.
And what the developers are getting permission to do is to come in and knock down the existing buildings. I mean, just thinking of what that does to environmental, you know, all the concrete and the building and the steel and everything that gets destroyed to be able to rebuild. And much of what they're tearing down is what has been affordable. I mean, the whole concept that it has to be new, they're building new to be affordable, you know, just defies the logic of most everybody knows you don't go in to buy a new car and think you're going to get an affordable rate on it so much as if you go to buy a used car, right. if you're working within a budget that requires affordability.
Right.
So there's just so many myths and misconceptions.
Well, it seems like one of the things we don't have a business model for that works is, say, for instance, conversion of the empty shopping malls and empty office spaces. We don't have a good building model for converting existing property because, of course, the reason that it gets knocked down and rebuilt from scratch instead of just modified is that nobody's been able to really figure out how to build that less expensively, how to modify less expensively and come up with something that people want that's attractive, that the developer can still make their profit at, et cetera, et cetera. So therein lies one of the challenges for what to do. It seems like it can be done one at a time on a bespoke basis when somebody wants to convert, say, a factory into lofts. But that's a luxury, right?
I think there's evidence that it can be done when there are local people committed to doing something like that, that they know will have local, widespread, shared value. And the way the model has shifted is my own background was living in a small town. We had a population of 1,400 people, and the community came together and built its own hospital because it was taking too long to have, to get to the hospital to have babies or deal with heart attacks.
Yes.
Here in Mill Valley, a group of community people came together to build senior housing, 30 years ago, maybe probably longer than that, but recognizing there was a need, they worked at a local level and met that need. So what's shifted, it reminds me of that, the story about the difference between interest in something and commitment to something. Using the analogy of the bacon and egg breakfast. A chicken has interest in that breakfast because it's going to provide the eggs and then go on and scratch in the garden. But the pig providing the bacon is where the commitment comes from. And what we have as an example is our wealth has been accumulated in the chickens. And I like that, just thinking of it, because of how chicken they are about really meeting common good and having a value base that says, we are looking out for each other, but the pig and the bacon, that is where the commitment is. And that's where stripping away local control, where there, your neighbors, so many things are shifting. I was going to say, the mailman, but with what is happening in terms of federally, I don't know what's going to happen to our mail person. And so much of the bigness seems to be teetering in the negative area, like cancer cells, growing cancer cells, bigness is not good. Extra weight is not good.
Yes.
So let me just jump to my local thing then.
Please.
That I've been invited to be a speaker at an event tomorrow, and they wanted me to talk about, is local housing control achievable? So just to say, I was really pleased with that question and to be able to think about that and just to put out my three key points then about that. That will be, I think the first question is to ask, is it desirable? And do we benefit more from local control, or would we benefit more from statewide, sort of the Soviet top-down model, which we've been getting? So just to summarize, I think the evidence shows local will be more like the, the pigs contributing to the well-being of their community than the outside capitalists providing eggs and density bonuses to them. But then it's also looking at what are the impediments to local control. And I think we're facing five really important impediments. One is, the beliefs and values that we hold and how much people might believe top-down is going to be better. It's kind of the father knows best model.
Yeah.
State laws have been an impediment as they're stripping away local control and environment. Our legislative office holders, Gavin Newsom kicked us off 5 years ago or so saying, we needed 3.5 million units. That wasn't true. Our attorney general is using threats and what he calls his strike force to get more housing. We have a dominant media narrative that is, build at all costs, supply demand, holding up, the book of abundance.
Yep.
And then an unattentive public, either, by design with what newspapers are doing, or just knowing if you've got kids and two jobs, it's tough to pay attention.
Yeah.
So, and what works in our favor, just briefly, the values and beliefs are equally strong, I think, and that's what we need to capitalize on. We do need independent journalism, and there's publications like the Marin Post, which is really good at that, and more emerging ways of the narrative to get out. We need to have legislators who are aligned with what we're doing. And if I have time, just to say, there was a vote on in both the Senate Housing and the Senate Local Government Committees, and the chairpersons and the vice chairs of both of those groups voted against Senate Bill 79, which is now a latest version of strip away local control. So all four of those, that key leadership, voted against it. And that's where Governor Newsom is coming in now, saying, he'll bring in his budgetary power and is willing to fund those measures, even if they don't go through the legislative process. So that's so we need to support those legislators who are looking out for us, and then all the community activists who are not just narrowly focused on we need more supply to lower the cost of our housing, but looking at it from the perspective of a global narrative about the financialization of housing.
Yeah, absolutely. Most definitely. We've been talking with Susan Kirsch. She is the founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control. You can find them at catalystca.org. If you trip up over that, you can go to susankirsch.com. And don't forget, Mondays is the Catalyst Call at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Five o'clock.